Hey y'all, and welcome back to Give Me the Creeps with Abby and Daniela.
Hello.
So this is a case from my state, and jumping right in, I will go ahead and say that this is an unfortunate tragedy that should not have ended this way, and some people are controlling evil assholes, and sometimes they are your family. All the more unfortunate. This was an unsolved mystery episode, and the puzzle pieces have finally been put together. So today I'll be covering the triple homicide of Wendy Camp, Cynthia Brito, and Lisa Krieger. If you have any questions, there's a lot of names that are going to be mentioned, and I made a little note here. So if I ever have to refer back to it, forgive me. Or if you get confused, I'll just tell you. But okay. So ask me. But I'm going to read straight from the Unsolved Mysteries website on the case, and then I'm going to be jumping between my notes and the articles that I'm using. So starting with unsolved.com, missing in-laws, a bitter feud between two families may have led to the disappearance of three women. And they say women, but one is a child. And so that is just, that really just makes the whole case so much worse. So, so here we go. Case details. In the spring of 1987, Wendy Brito of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, was a divorced mother with a young daughter when she fell in love with a coworker named Chad Noe. According to Wendy's mother, Jackie Taylor, they hit it off fairly quickly and started a relationship, and then she got pregnant with her second child, and he convinced her to marry him. And they got married about 3 or 4 weeks before Jonathan was born. Just 1 month after Jonathan's birth, Wendy developed a crippling case of multiple sclerosis. She was hospitalized for nearly a year. And I saw a clip on the Oxygen Network website where the sister is talking about her. And Wendy, one day, she couldn't swallow. And then she collapsed. And they took her to the hospital. And she just fell into a coma. So they think it had to do with her childbirth experience, and it kind of started this whole process of her multiple sclerosis, but she was like put into a coma first. So it was very intense right off the bat. And so Chad, they had only been married for a little bit at that time, I think, and Chad filed for divorce and was awarded primary custody of Jonathan. Chad felt he should raise Jonathan alone. Of course, along with the MS, I didn't think that she would be able to help me raise my child. And instead of having two people or two children to deal with, I just decided that it was best if I got a divorce and I help raise the child on my own.
What?
I don't know. Yeah, that logic to me feels very like ableist. Like she can't love her child because she's ill. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It gets weirder. So this is a very, like I said, these characters are all very interesting people. So that's coming from Chad Noe. Wendy Camp was too sick to fight the divorce or the custody decision. For 2 years, she went through physical therapy just to regain simple skills like eating and walking. Then her life took a positive turn, at least for a while. During this time, friends introduced Wendy to Leon Camp. They fell in love and were married. Wendy's first child, Cynthia, lived with them. Wendy's condition improved, so she asked her ex-husband, Chad, for visits with Jonathan. At first, everything went smoothly. Jonathan spent a few weekends with Wendy and Leon. Then, according to Wendy's mother, Chad's family began to sabotage the visits. She would call and make an appointment with them, set up a time and everything for her to see him, and she would go there and they would not be home. And then they kept moving and getting unlisted phone numbers, this type of thing. So it was almost impossible to keep track of them. Chad Noe remembers it differently. She was allowed to visit him whenever she wanted, and there was never any real hard feelings up until my mother informed me that she was being that he was being sexually molested, and then that's whenever the visitations were cut off. This is wild. So he said that his mother, Chad's mother is very involved in this whole thing. Like she was watching her grandchild all the time. And so she, I don't know if Chad lived with his mother at this time or not, but apparently according to her, I don't know, she doesn't even list like how she found this out, but it's believed that Wendy's new husband, Leon, is molesting their little boy. So that definitely makes him want to keep Jonathan far away from Wendy and her new husband. And even though Cynthia is living there and everything's fine. So These are all allegations. They could never disprove or prove anything. But Wendy's husband, Leon Camp, says, "There was no molestation, not once, and the idea of them thinking it just tore me up inside. I was mad." The charges of sexual abuse against Leon couldn't be proved or disproved. The court ordered that Wendy and Leon's visits resume and cited Chad for contempt. For more than 6 months, Chad refused to allow Jonathan to visit. Then on May 29th, 1992, he had a sudden change of heart. Chad even offered to have his mother, Beverly No, pick up Wendy, since she was unable to drive. Leon said that he didn't want Wendy to go alone. So even that is like, Her husband is protecting her from his ex and his family because they're all out to get Wendy for whatever reason, just because she has MS. Like, is that really the reason? It's just so weird. So
that is weird.
There's a Reddit thread too that I want to read from because this is just such a weird situation. Like, it's so drastic. Anyway, so he goes, "I didn't trust these people, and me and Chad didn't get along. And I was just, something inside of me, I just felt like she better not go by herself." By the time Beverly arrived, Leon had convinced his sister, Lisa Renee Krieger, to go with Wendy and Cynthia. I think Cynthia is 6 years old at this time. According to Leon, "I kissed Wendy goodbye first, and they got in the car and took off, and I waved at them, and that was the last time I saw them. The 115-mile drive to Chad's home in Shamrock, Oklahoma, took just over 2 hours. When the group arrived, Wendy called Leon. The first time she called me that day was to let me know that she'd made it all right. Chad No says, "She and Jonathan and Cynthia played for a while, but she mostly sat there and drank coffee with me out on the porch and talked. When it was time for Wendy to say goodbye to Jonathan, she, Cynthia, and Lisa Renee climbed into Beverly's car. Chad's grandmother, Ida Pruitt, joined them for the ride. Before leaving Shamrock, Wendy called Leon again. About 4:30, 4:45, she called me to let me know how the visit went. She said that Beverly was in a hurry and she had to get off the phone, and that was the last I talked to her. According to Chad's grandmother, Ida, Wendy was unpleasant from the very beginning. And all this time, all the way to town, she's just griping and bitching, and that's all she could do. So after they got back in the car and everything, I told them, just take me back home. I said, you got to put up with this, but I don't. So she brought me back home, and then she went on. And in the interview, she's actually saying this to the camera, like, so rude, like, talking about griping and bitching. This is about a missing woman. Like, if you say she's unpleasant, say she's unpleasant. But she is so ugly about talking about Wendy.
Yeah,
And she has every right to complain. Her son has not been able to live with her. Like, anyways, so weird. Mm-hmm. So Ida is Chad's grandmother, and his mother's name is Beverly. So it's like two generations of women, and then the son, the mama's boy, whatever, Chad.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very weird. So I don't think he's even complaining about how often he sees his son. It's the two other women. Anyways.
That's fucking weird.
So Ida says Chad's mother later reported that the bickering continued for the next half hour. She said by the time she got to Chandler, she had just about all she could stand, and she pulled into Walmart and told them to get out. Could you believe that? Mm-hmm. Beverly told police that she pulled into a shopping center parking lot 45 miles from Wendy's home. She then ordered Wendy, Cynthia, and Lisa Renee out of the car. They never returned home. They never called. They never asked anyone for help. It was as though they had dropped off the face of the earth. According to Jackie Johnson with the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, "We did an aerial search which involved 4 and 5 airplanes searching a 5-county area. It also involved several search teams, and nothing was discovered at that time." Jackie Taylor suspected foul play, and this is her mom, Wendy's mom. "Wendy was very, very dependent upon Leon, and she'd already called twice. She would have immediately gone in and called her husband, or if she wasn't able to get a hold of him, she would have called me. I feel that my daughter and my granddaughter and the sister-in-law were murdered that Friday night. I feel that Ida, Beverly, and Chad, all three of them, are involved. I feel that they pretty well had the plans laid out on what they were going to do when they made the phone call to ask Wendy if she wanted to see Jonathan. And I figure whoever got in that car, they were going to do what they had planned to do." Ida Pruitt denies the accusations. "Beverly and I did not have anything to do with their disappearances, and I know this. I don't care whether they know it or not, I believe it, but I know it." Chad No says, there's no way that I or my grandma or my mother could kill them or ship them off somewhere. In spite of Chad's denials, two residents of Shamrock have told authorities they overheard him boasting that he had killed Wendy, Cynthia, and Lisa Renee and that no one would ever find their bodies. Chad says, maybe in one of my drunk or stupors I might have popped off. Oh, yeah, yeah, I did it, but there ain't no way I could have done something like that. I'm not a violent person.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. So, there's an update and then there are comments because one thing about us Oklahomans, I guess I'm already an Oklahoman. I've been here a couple of years. Oh. We do gossip and we do know the talk around town about who's no good. And the comments on here are wild. So I will read the update on this website, but we are going to look at another article that has more details that might be missing and some updates. So if anything is repeated, forgive me. But the update from the Unsolved Network website is 21 years after they disappeared, a man named Grover Pruitt alerted investigators that he suspected that the bodies of Wendy Camp, Cynthia Brito, and Lisa Renee Krieger were located on his property. Pruitt is the brother of Beverly No, and he believed the victims were buried in a septic tank hold that he had dug. All three victims were found there. Beverly No was arrested for the 1992 killings. No pleaded no contest to the murder charge and was sentenced to 30 years in prison with 15 years suspended as part of a plea bargain. Ida Pruitt, Beverly's mother, was also a suspect, but she is now deceased. So she got out of that jam. But they have a criminal history, which we will get into in a second, her and her mother. And the comments had me kind of laughing because, I mean, these people deserve to have their dirt come up. But on January 15th, 2024, so this is like, I guess, from more recent to older comments, the newest comments to the oldest, it says, Beverly No finally passed away in October 2023. Hopefully now Wendy's family can have some sort of peace knowing Beverly is no longer alive. Arrest Chad Now says, Chad should be in prison too. He knew exactly what happened. He slipped up in the interview. There is no way that I or my grandma or my mother could kill them. He knew they were already dead and slipped up. Okay, good point. Another person says, to serve half of a prison term for killing three people is not right. And then somebody replied to that, said, Jackie Taylor is my best friend's sister. A week after this happened, they both told me exactly what went down but couldn't prove anything without a body. OMG, were they ever right? 22 years went by and poor Jackie was never the same. For Beverly No to only serve a few years for a triple murder and blame her dead mother, wow, she'll have to answer for her sins someday. It's a good thing this family is as tough as it is.
What?
Fuck? Yes. Where is it? Who else said something interesting? Oh, here it is. This one was interesting. And this one's from June 4th, 2018. So I think 3 years after everything came to light when they discovered the bodies and they arrested Beverly. But Amy Harwell says, I actually used to work with Chad No at CC's Pizza in Norman, Oklahoma, many years back. I didn't know who he was or anything at all about him until a year or so later I saw this case on Unsolved Mysteries. I could not freaking believe it. I always got a bad, creepy vibe off this dude, and now I know why. I'll never forget one day at work we were both on break, sitting at a table waiting to clock in, and he asked what I was doing after work. It was Friday, so my answer was getting real drunk because that was the truth. LOL. Anyway, I jokingly said, what about you? You gonna get wild and drunk tonight? And he looked at me with such a deathly scary look that this combo with him has been burned in my memory since. And he says, no, I don't drink anymore. Bad things happen when I drink, real bad things. That really freaked me out. I avoided him like the plague after that. Last time I saw him, he was working at a restaurant called Van's Pig Stand in Norman, Oklahoma.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. And then there's more stuff about the grandma and the mom and how could they and how is Chad off the hook? Dirty little grease ball that he is. I have no doubt he was involved and a great guy to let his mother take the fall for him. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Anyhow, so that is on Unsolved Mysteries. So the whole the whole situation is messy with the in-laws that don't get along, but then they want the child and exclude their mother. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you just want to pretend he doesn't have a mom? How are you not, like, interested in sharing custody like every other family has to? Then the allegations against the new husband, and that's where it really feels like a Dr. Phil case, not to make light of this, but it's like she has a medical condition, and instead of helping her out of the goodness of their hearts, they isolate the child from his mother, which is like selfish and hateful. Yeah. Like, it's not for no reason, like no good reason. And I won't even begin to understand how the medical condition or deteriorating health can affect a marriage. I understand like that's probably stressful. So I'm not going to hate on him for divorcing her, because she ended up finding a husband who took very good care of her from everything I've read about Leon. And he still cries and stuff, like talking about her. Oh. So, but yeah, he divorces her and is like, I'm taking my son, like all hateful. And then going as far as like I said, coming up with molestation allegations, like that's just really dark. So the amount of control that these people wanted is just so bizarre. Like, they wanted to control and possess the grandchild. Exactly. It's weird. The tragic part of it too, is that Leon wanted her safe and took care of her. So he was thinking not sending her alone would help keep her safe, but it didn't matter. Like, all three of them went missing. Yeah. So
it's really fucking sad.
Some more background for that case that was in the episode. And if anyone's interested, it is season 6, episode 5. And it's on YouTube for free in case anyone wanted to see that particular case for yourselves. And it's at the 14-minute mark of that video on the Unsolved Mysteries channel on YouTube. So more info on that is the visit took place in Shamrock, Oklahoma, like they said. So they are picked up from Oklahoma City and then taken to Shamrock, and then they're supposed to be taken back to Oklahoma City that evening. Wendy, Cynthia, and Lisa are to be dropped back off in Oklahoma City, and then Beverly was to drive to Cushing, Oklahoma for dinner at a restaurant that she was supposed to meet her son Chad at between 7 and 8 p.m., So Ida says Wendy was unpleasant and all that, and so she is griping and bitching, and she asked to be dropped off. So Ida pulls herself out of the picture, like, right away, leaving Beverly alone with the three women, or the two women and the little girl in the car. And she gets dropped off around 5:15, and Beverly claims that the next half hour, here's the other biggest thing that I noticed too. Ida has passed away already, but in the Unsolved Mysteries episode, Beverly declined to comment. So she's not featured in that episode at all, just Chad and his grandma, who's Ida Pruitt. So Ida gave the Unsolved Mysteries information whenever they asked her, like the context of the situation and how the trip went. So when she says what happened, she's telling us from Beverly's point of view, but only she is answering, not Beverly. Okay. Beverly's like out of the picture. She did not want to participate in this episode for good reason. But so she claims, so Ida is saying that Beverly claims that Wendy continued the bickering for the next half hour. And that's when she dropped her off 45 miles from her home at the Walmart parking lot. And all the arguing was apparently over Wendy's 2-year-old Jonathan about how often she gets to see him, and that the grandma's like, no, he needs to be with us where it's stable, which doesn't make any sense.
Like, yeah.
And 8 p.m., Leon was working. Okay, so then back home in Oklahoma City, Leon was figuring that they would be home by now. And it's 8 p.m. and he's worried. And by midnight, he calls the police and they went over and got descriptions, and they were officially missing people. And it was just so strange. And it was also serious because of Wendy's illness, and she needed her medications and stuff. So it did not make sense for them to just disappear and not say anything or say, we're going to be late, or like, can you come get us or whatever? Because it's like a necessary thing that she has her medication.
Yeah.
Beverly left Shamrock between 4:30 and 5 and said she'd meet Chad by 7, but it couldn't have been possible because from Shamrock to Oklahoma City and back to Cushing was a 3-hour drive, and she took a 2-lane highway instead of the faster super highway, which adds time to the trip as well. So Wendy would have called her family. Leon would have been her first call. Her mother, Jackie Taylor, would have been her second call, and her mother knows that they were murdered that Friday night. Like, there's no way that she was just missing for a certain amount of time at all. So now this oxygen thing, because this is newer. I think this is all coming back to the surface because now Beverly has just passed away. So she didn't even get to serve her time or tell the truth or anything. She took that plea deal, which she said no contest, but she didn't plead guilty or say, yeah, I did it. Like, she did not confess. So here we go to oxygen.com. Triple murder tied to bitter custody feud solved 21 years after victim vanished. And this is from January 4th, 2024. Around midnight on May 29th, 1992 in Oklahoma City, Wendy Camp's family was growing increasingly worried. Wendy, 23, had gone to see her four-year-old son, Jonathan. Oh, he's four. I said two earlier. Four-year-old son, Jonathan, no. She was accompanied by her six-year-old daughter, Cynthia Brito, and her sister-in-law, Lisa Renee Krieger. Wendy's family expected them home around 7 or 7:30. Dana, a News 9 Oklahoma City reporter, told Fatal Family Feuds, airing Saturdays at 9, 8 Central on Oxygen. I'm not sponsored. Wendy Camp, her daughter, and sister-in-law vanished. So Wendy was in the middle of a contentious custody battle with the boy's father, Chad Noe. So there were concerns before she'd left for the 2-plus-hour drive to Shamrock, Oklahoma, though Camp had multiple sclerosis and she didn't drive. Instead, Chad's mother, Beverly, and grandmother, Ida Pruitt, picked the three travelers up early in the morning on May 29th. Around 4:30 p.m., Wendy called her husband, Leon, letting him know that they were on their way home, but they never arrived. "We knew that something wasn't kosher," said Wendy's sister, Aisha. "Wendy has multiple sclerosis and hadn't taken her medication." Camp's family filed a missing persons report on May 30th. As investigators began looking into the case, they learned details about Wendy and a bitter custody dispute preceding her disappearance. Wendy grew up on a large farm and dreamed of being a vet. At age 16, she began dating college student Christopher Brito, whom she welcomed her daughter Cynthia in 1986. However, when the baby was 6 months old, Brito's parents put pressure on Christopher to not be married to my sister, her sister says. So he did give her a divorce and returned to his home country. Oh, that is very interesting. Wendy and Cynthia, me neither. And he was, I think, older than her because he was in college and she's 16. Okay. Anywho. Yeah, so she had a baby at 16, which is her daughter Cynthia, and she was dating a college student, and so he went back to his home country, and they got a divorce. And Wendy and Cynthia were warmly embraced by her family, so she stays living with her parents, I think, and they're helping her raise her daughter at this point. While working at a local restaurant – I mean, she's a child. She's 16, 17 with a kid, so that makes sense to me. While working at a local restaurant, Wendy met Chad Noe in 1987. She became pregnant with their son, Jonathan. After Wendy and Chad married, they lived with Wendy's parents, according to Dana, the news person. A few months after the couple tied the knot, Wendy fell into a coma and was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Her family cared for Cynthia, and Chad's mother, Beverly, agreed to watch over Jonathan until Camp recovered. About 7 months after being in a coma, Chad gave my sister a divorce, says her sister. From there, she added, it turned into a custody battle from hell. Once Chad got custody, Beverly seemingly became responsible for raising Jonathan, and Beverly really worked hard to keep Jonathan essentially to herself. Wendy's parents wanted to have visitation with Jonathan, but the Noe family shut that down, said Marty Wilson, a special agent with the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. Meanwhile, Wendy's recovery was a long process, one that lasted more than a year. During that time, she met and married Leon Camp, whom she met in the hospital. "Leon would give you the shirt off his back," said Michael Krieger, who was married to Leon's sister, Lisa. As part of the missing persons investigation, police interviewed Beverly, who insisted that she dropped off Wendy Christina. And they list her name as Christina in here, but it's Cynthia everywhere else, so in case that's confusing also. Wendy, Cynthia, and Lisa in Chandler, Oklahoma. According to Beverly, Wendy was complaining about the fact that it had been so difficult to get visitation with Jonathan, said Wilson. She stopped in the parking lot of a Walmart store and let the three girls out, he continued. According to her, she thought they could either find a ride home or call Leon. Police questioned Ida Pruitt. Her account closely matched Beverly's version of the events. In Chandler, detectives found that the Walmart didn't have a surveillance system. Because that was my first question too, is like, did anybody see them get out of the car? Because that's the major issue here. Where were they when they went missing? And so employees who were working on May 29th couldn't verify seeing the missing persons. according to Wilson. So at least that nowadays there's like CCTV and people on their phones, you know. So I don't know. But back then there wasn't that. Police followed up with Chad, who said that he believed the meeting went well. The last time he saw Wendy, Cynthia, and Lisa, they were getting into the car to go home. In a polygraph test, Chad was shown to be truthful in his responses, said Wilson. Despite no evidence contradicting Beverly's story, investigators were compelled to scrutinize her account, but each follow-up interview with the No family were dead ends. They were racing against the clock. Wendy needed her medication and her life was in danger. A week into the search, the media was notified and a $5,000 reward was offered for tips. Investigators continued to question witnesses. Wendy Camp's former in-laws draw suspicion. During interviews with Wendy's parents and other family members, we found that they did not think highly of Chad and Beverly No. They thought they were responsible for this. Meanwhile, Beverly went into hiding and nobody could find them for like a year. Then in May of 1992, Chad invited Wendy's husband, Leon, to visit Jonathan.
Interesting.
That's different. Because in May of 1992, that's when they went missing. But he invited Leon? That's confusing. Anyways, police worked the case for a year without coming up with suspects to the disappearance. Investigators turned to unsolved mysteries. While Beverly didn't do an on-air interview, her mother Ida participated in the series. Beverly and I did not have nothing to do with their disappearance, she tells the show, and I know this. It was like she was trying to minimize any involvement that she might have had, said Wilson. As detectives dug deeper, they learned that Ida and her daughter Debbie had been arrested when Debbie's husband was stabbed to death.
Oh, shit.
So Ida is, for her kids, she will kill, is what this tells
clearly.
Me.
Clearly.
To get what they want, which is. So they were released due to lack of evidence, but within the family, comments were made. My grandma Ida, she was ruthless, said Chad No's cousin Kirsten, leading Fox. She didn't have any problem with committing crimes. In the end, tips generated by unsolved mysteries were dead ends. In 2011, Ida Pruitt died. We were hoping that my grandma Ida on her deathbed would admit what they had done, but she never said that, said Fox. Leads to that. I guess for them to clear their own conscience, or I guess they're like, it won't matter now. I won't be punished.
There's like a whole podcast dedicated to deathbed confessions.
Like why? But why would they, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I guess there's many reasons, but.
Yeah.
If they think they should be having a proper burial, et cetera, maybe. I don't know.
They want to, confess their last sins or something.
Maybe so. Just in case.
Just in case.
You're still going to hell. Anyways, if it exists. Okay. Tip leads to bodies buried in a septic tank. The case went cold. Then in 2013, Grover Pruitt. So here's another. Enter Grover Pruitt. He's 60 at this point in 2013. This is Beverly's brother. He reached out to the police and he believed that the three bodies were buried in a septic tank on his former property. He said he had suspicions that Ida and Beverly might have had something to do with the girls being missing, said Wilson. After the interview, he said, I'm serious. You need to look in that hole. Ooh.
Oh.
It came to light that Ida lived in a trailer on the property. She had a hole for a septic tank dug that ended up being used for years for trash. It stayed uncovered until just after Wendy and the two others went missing. Grover, that's awful, right? Just like trash.
Yeah.
Grover brought investigators to the possible burial site. Though Beverly continued to deny any involvement, the slow and painstaking dig done under the supervision of forensic anthropologist Angela Berg turned up skeletal remains of three bodies. And there's pictures online. It's pretty sad.
Oh my God.
Because you can see the clothes and the little girl's clothes and the skeletons.
Oh my God.
The skeletons are like posed in such a way where you literally can tell they were just thrown in the hole and then covered up.
Oh my God.
They were not laid like flat. They were just thrown in there. It's just awful. So the medical examiner determined the victims had multiple gunshot wounds shown by defects to the bones, said Wilson. There were also indications of stab wounds. A gun and two kitchen knives were found under the remains. On January 10th, 2014, the results of the DNA testing confirmed the remains were Wendy Camp, Cynthia Brito, and Lisa Krieger. Wendy Camp's ex-mother-in-law, Beverly No, is arrested for murder. She was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Grover Pruitt was charged as an accessory, and Chad Noe was never charged. Rather than run the risk of losing the murder trial, the DA's office offered Beverly a plea deal, which she accepted. In January of 2015, Beverly, then 67, pleaded no contest to helping carry out the murders. Her charges were reduced to accessory to murder, which that's so annoying. She was sentenced to 15 years in prison plus 15 years of probation. Due to her age and health issues, she was released after 3 years.
Oh my God.
How unfair is that?
That is fucking...
Due to her age and her health issues, but it's like, okay, like, what about Wendy's health issues and age?
Yeah,
and like, the little girl's age. Ugh. So everybody's mad about that. So on Reddit, there's a lot of people talking about, I knew them and I knew when they were doing this and doing that. They are no good. Sorry, people. I was enjoying hearing the dirt on them. So I'm going to take it over to newsonsix.com, where it talks about their past, and there's more comments made by the family here too. So families of murder victims witnessed Bristow woman take plea deal. As she walked out of the courtroom, Beverly Noe was wearing handcuffs and a smile until she was met by a sea of cameras. And it's on camera, so it's pretty funny. She's smiling and then sees everybody, and then she covers her face with both hands. What, out of shame? Are you ashamed? Mm. So Tuesday, January 20th, 2015, so this is another old one, a plea deal sends a Creek County grandmother to prison in connection to a 1992 triple murder. Beverly Noe was charged with killing Wendy Camp, her six-year-old daughter Cynthia, and Camp's sister-in-law Lisa. But in a plea deal Tuesday, prosecutors lessened the charges from first-degree murder to accessory to murder. In exchange, Noe pleaded no contest to helping carry out the murders. During the hearing, Noe was just feet away from the victims' families. And even after more than two decades, the pain was still raw. I loved them so much. I thought they were coming home, and they didn't, Wendy's husband, Leon Camp, said, crying. As he and other family members were seated, Noe watched and said to her attorney, that looks like What's-Her-Face's crew there in the front row.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
Shortly after that, she entered her plea and was sentenced to 15 years in prison plus 15 years of probation. As she walked out of the courtroom wearing handcuffs and a smile until she was met by a sea of cameras. Oh my God, Noe said while covering her face with her hands. Noe kept her face covered as she walked through the courthouse and to an SUV waiting to take her back to jail. Reporter Tess Mon says, Beverly, for 21 years, you said you didn't do it. Do you have any comment? Noe says, no. Noe was charged with killing Wendy Camp, her six-year-old daughter Cynthia, and her sister-in-law Lisa Krieger. The three went missing in 1992 after visiting Wendy's son Jonathan in Creek County. So here's the information here. So Jonathan was being raised by Noe, who was Wendy's ex-mother-in-law. Noe was supposed to drive the three back home to Oklahoma City after the visit. Wendy's husband waited, but they never made it. I took care of her. She relied on me to help her through so much because she had multiple sclerosis. And Cynthia called me daddy. I wasn't her real dad, but I was the only daddy she ever knew, Leon said. And my sister, I loved her so much. We were very close, too. Leon says in his heart he always knew Noe had something to do with the deaths of his wife, stepdaughter, and sister, but there was never any proof until 2 years ago. And that's when Grover Pruitt led investigators to Pawnee County Field, a piece of property Pruitt and his mother Ida once owned. The bodies were found buried under 8 feet of dirt, confirming the family's worst fear. We feel like there were a lot of people in the family involved. We truly do. But as long as we got the one that was threatening my sister from the get-go, said Wendy's sister. Pruitt is charged with helping Noe and their mother, Ida, hide the bodies and evidence of the crimes. Her mother has always been a suspect in this crime, Creek County District Attorney Max Cook said. Ida was never charged with the murders. She died in 2011 before the bodies were discovered. Do you think that's why
that guy waited? Him, yes.
Really? I mean, what I'm was sure he afraid of? Was
afraid
she
of her? Killed?
She would have killed his ass.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, he waited. Yeah, he waited till after she passed. I must have been, maybe she was the mastermind behind the whole thing, so he knew she'd go down for the most. Oh,
absolutely.
Whatever. So before the bodies were discovered, and at the time she was in prison. Oh, she was already in prison. At the time she was in prison serving time for an unrelated crime. So that leaves Pruitt as the key witness. But District Attorney Max Cook says Pruitt is in poor health, unable to testify against his sister. He says with a case that's two decades old, issues with witnesses arise. Through death, through medical issues, memories fail. We can't find them, so an older case has its issues in that regard, Cook said. So the plea deal was offered to close the case quickly and give the victim's family closure. No accepted the deal and pleaded no contest to accessory to first-degree murder, but showed little remorse. Still, for the family, it's answer and ending to an agonizing two decades. I could just see Wendy sitting beside me, her sister said, wiping tears from her eyes. It's been a long journey and it's over. I'm thankful the most that this is the last and final step. Now it can be all about Wendy, Cynthia, and Lisa. We don't have to focus on her anymore, which is no. I'm going to be able to finally put them to rest, and I'm thankful for that, Leon said. We've been through so much, it's time for God to give us peace. If No serves the full term, she would be 82 when released. No has served prison time once before. She and her mother were imprisoned in 2007 for intentionally burning down their Bristow home to collect more than $83,000 from an insurance company.
Oh, my God.
That's what I read somewhere. It was arson and insurance fraud or something that they went to prison for. So, hey, criminals in the family, am I right?
Yeah.
That is wild. So that is sad because not to place the blame on, because I hate when people do this, like, well, she picked that guy, like, that sucks. But I mean, he has a shitty family. Like, what, how was she supposed to know? She was a young girl falling in love, you know.
5,000%, yeah.
Having a baby, thinking it's all normal, and then she gets sick and it all turns. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I wonder if that Chad guy ever had a chance, if he would have disconnected from his toxic-ass mom, if he would have just cut her off. Because maybe she was in his ear the whole time. Not to, once again, I'm not trying to place all the blame on one or the other, or, you know, take the responsibility away from the people, but maybe she was in his ear the whole time. Well, she's not going to be able to help you. You're going to be doing it all. You better come live with us. You need our help.
Yes.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much.
It's the only logical thing that I can
think of. Somebody would listen to and it would make sense to them. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing about marriage, too, is like we think, oh, we're going to be married and be happily ever after. But nobody's like, what's going to happen if one of us gets really sick? Are you in it still for that? Like, the good times, the bad times, the rough times, but they were very young. And the fact, like all the drama in this family would have been enough, but the fact that they killed three people is shocking. Like that was enough of a hellscape to like read through that about how they felt about her. They didn't want to drive her around even though she couldn't drive, but they didn't want Leon coming because the Chad didn't get along. But so they're bending to every whim to see her son, essentially it's her son by blood. And yet it was like, no, let's just get rid of her like a piece of trash. Like, no, that's dealt with. For 20 years, they didn't know where they were buried, or if they were still missing. There was still hope. You know, there was a reward and descriptions all over of what they looked like, what they would age like, and they were dead the whole time. It's just awful. Yeah, they were killed for such a pointless, senseless reason.
Yep.
And apparently that Jonathan kid, he still stands by his grandma and great grandma. Like they would never do something like that. And he's not such a great guy himself from what I'm reading on the locals Reddit and stuff. So it's only bound to keep happening, I guess, with that kind of thing, with criminals in the family and things being excused away. Well, like we had to shoot, they were going to take you away. Is that what you wanted? But he believes the lies because I know he believes the lies because he does not think there's any way that they could have killed his mom and stuff. And Chad, he just goes off scot-free. Like, I can't think of how he would have really been involved because then who's watching Jonathan at that point? Because he was only 4. So if the grandmother was in the car at one point with Beverly, I feel like they never left. They probably, when they went at 5:15 to the grandma's house, they took him inside and said, let's get some lemonade and cool down.
Yeah.
The arguing is too much. And because it's three, one is a child. So that's sad. And then her MS, from how it's portrayed in the episode, one of her arms is kind of folded to her chest and she kind of walks with a limp.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa is an able-bodied young woman, but it's like, who does she help? You know what I mean? It's two women. They had a gun. I don't want to spell this whole thing out because the family's been through enough, and let alone they forgive them because they believe in Jesus Christ. On their interviews, they're like, yeah, we forgive them. We've let it all go. And now we can just focus on our peace and good. Hey, kudos to them because I'm mad.
Yeah.
And I'm not even related. And I'm happy for the comfort that their religion brings them, but it is just hard to hear that they're, that they forgive some kind of action like this.
Yes.
A six-year-old.
Yeah.
Wild. Oklahoma is crazy. I'll say that much. And you never know who your in-laws are going to be.
Yeah, that's fucking terrifying.
Not to say it's your fault if you end up with some crazy ass in-laws, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
So yeah, didn't want to make this too short. I could not find any personal information other than through the Oxygen Network because they are doing the Fatal Family Feuds series. So they had a bunch of new stuff to add and they interviewed the family again and stuff like that. But as far as personal stuff on Wendy or what she liked to do or what Cynthia's favorite color was or anything like that, I could not find. There was no Wikipedia page or anything like that. So I read straight from the sources, especially it's like, this is just such a wild ride. I would think there would be that this was going to be a really long episode because of all the information, but no, it was like, it's sad too, because they did look for her because it was a serious medical situation. Like they needed to find her to get her medication. And plus there's a 6-year-old involved, but I guess after they couldn't see where she was, they just kind of, it was 20 years before somebody had to say, I know exactly where they are. Yeah. And I just hope that that happens more in the future because, like, we always talk about Susan Powell. Like,
yep.
He was willing to wipe everyone out, his kids and himself, so that they could never find her. It's so ugly. It's ugly. Yep.
Very
evil.
Evil.
Evil. So yeah, it's sad. And once again, people always say travel in groups, don't go anywhere alone for your own safety. But wow, this really does.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's one of those instances that they did not care. That's just so shocking. So yeah, it's unfortunate. And rest in peace to Wendy and Cynthia and Lisa. They didn't know they weren't going to be home. It was just a road trip day, you know?
Yeah.
That sucks. And Jonathan, good luck to him and his future. He's a grown man now. I hope he comes to his senses. They claim that he was molested. That's never been proven. He probably believes that he was, but he was just like so young. There's no telling. But if he was, that is also very tragic because I'm not saying that doesn't happen with step parents a lot of the time or mom's new boyfriend or whoever. So I don't know, something else to learn from. Be safe out there and take care of yourselves and each other. I've been quoting Jerry Springer lately and no one's caught it.
You fucking have.
His final thoughts. I put that show on the other day and I was like, that kind of sounds like me at the end of the episodes. It
does.
And holy he goes, shit. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Jesus.
Rest in peace to him too. Jesus.
I forgot he died. Wow.
That's rough. I used to want to get some beads on his show when I was a child watching.
Oh my God. When I was a child.
That's not good. That's unhealthy.
Just a little bit. Hey, you know. Have you heard, like talking about disabilities and stuff, reminded me, have you heard of the case of the girl that melted into her couch? She was autistic and her parents.
Yes.
Stayed there for 12 fucking years.
That's so disgusting. That's one of the most horrible cases I've ever heard.
Yes.
To have someone so helpless and instead of want to help them, you're literally like, it almost seems like people are repulsed sometimes to the point of neglect and to the point of, I don't even want
to. Right.
That's weird. We'll give her to somebody who will love her. That is a tough.
There's
trigger warning. If anyone else goes and looks up that case, there are photos and it is graphic and it is a disabled child that we're talking about. It's so sad and gross. And they're in prison, right? The parents, both of them.
Yes, they got indicted for, I think they got sentenced actually to 30 or something that wasn't appropriate a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't remember exactly what the number was, but there were so many things that I read about it last night. Because the trial, I honestly think it just finished. Like, they were sentenced and everything. And there were so many comments on Reddit and shit. Like, just so many valid points. Like, I read a whole ass thread about it. Maybe I should do a episode. Yeah.
She does deserve to be remembered, but it is so chilling how how hateful some people can be seeing someone in that state and not they can't, like, she couldn't help herself. Even if she wanted to, she had to sit there in fear and despair until she passed away. Like,
but
probably in pain.
A lot of people are saying that they think she had catatonic schizophrenia and something else. They think that she was either catatonic schizophrenic or maybe it was part of it, or something that had to do with she feared, like, she literally physically and mentally could not get off the couch. And people were like, if that is the case, though, what they could have done was
bring a specialist.
Get her help. Like, you can't get her off the couch, okay, but you can find someone that can do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. That also bothers me too with some parents or some of these situations with the kids. It's like, if they're, like, for instance, they're not eating, they're picky eaters. Okay, you're just not going to feed them. He wasn't hungry. Yes, he needs to eat. Like, what are you talking about? I've been seeing, for how aware of things we are these days, I'm seeing way too much fucked up child abuse shit. Did you hear about this other lady who starved her 14-year-old to death and then was like, he's on a hunger strike?
No.
She is currently in trial right now. Let me find her name real quick, because he and his brother was helping, and he also is extremely, like, emaciated. So she either abused him to the point where he's scared to not listen to her, or he's equally as evil as she is. Von Ark, I think, is the name. Yes, Shanda Vander Ark.
Vander
is the name of the woman. And when she's interviewed, she answers the questions, like, so easily, like, they're going to understand where she's coming from. That's how gone she is about, like, she's delusional about it. Like, he would eat. And, like, for punishment, they would put, like, hot sauce on his genitals, dude.
Okay, yeah, that's
and give him ice baths. Whenever he would pass out because he was so weak from being starved, they would put him in ice baths to wake him up.
That is definitely child abuse. Like,
it's awful. And to and whenever he appeared to be lifeless, she had her son warm up a pizza roll, bring it near his nose, and when he reacted, he had to pull away the pizza roll and not give it to him.
Oh my God.
That is just, like, who comes up with this kind of stuff? She was like, well, and then she's just naturally answering, like, other forms of discipline were not working. Discipline for what? If anything, the boy had autism. He liked to take things apart and learn about them. Oh, and instead of feeding his, you know, his interests, she thought he was, like, evil or something and punishing her. So she punished him, and he passed away. And it is just so awful and horrible. So I will be putting a trigger warning for the end of our episode here, because with kids, it's just like, I don't see how that can happen. And of course she didn't have him in school. She couldn't have people seeing.
Of course not. Yeah.
How he looked. Learning,
yeah.
Oh, it makes me so mad. And then, just a bunch of cases like that where kids are kept in a room and the neighbors are like, I've came across another child abuse thing where luckily the baby was taken out of that situation alive, but she was sitting in fecal material, so there were flies, and the neighbors could smell, like, the neighbors could smell it, and thankfully the neighbors kept reporting it. Like, we hear a baby crying and we're smelling really bad smells. Can y'all go in there? Like, I know that there's, like, protocol, but at some point I would hope that caseworkers would just bust the door down and just pick up the kid and be like, this is not happening. Like, right. There's no way. Fuck the paperwork. And what I don't like is it's fuck the paperwork whenever they get caught not doing their due diligence, but it's not fuck the paperwork whenever they needed to save a child in a dire situation. I don't get it.
1,000%.
Ugh, so that's what sucks about it. It's like you would think people in these kinds of jobs are good people, but that's not the case. Some people, it's just a job to them, and they can separate it. They doesn't bother them, which, anyways.
Yeah.
Went off on a tangent there. But yeah, the child abuse shit is out of control. The baby that the mom was letting the uncles abuse and they threw her to hit the ceiling. Did we talk about this already?
Yes.
Disgusting. Disgusting. Yeah. I can't even wrap my head around it, which is good. Guys, we talk about this stuff. It's not to understand, because that's the problem. If you start understanding where these evil people are coming from, that's a problem. Like, you don't want to sympathize or be like, well, no.
Absolutely not. No.
So that's why we talk about these details like this, but I just can't. Anyways, and her mom, like, it's different too. I know I sound problematic, because it's like a man or a woman could be just as awful, but when a baby came out of your body and you treat her, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't.
Or understand. When moms molest their kids, I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
That's how you know people are missing something in their head whenever they're born or something.
Something is wrong.
Or trauma. I'm not, trauma can cause trauma. So get that dealt with. You never know.
That is true, but still, it's not. Yeah, it's horrifying.
But to that extent, it's like there's something not right about those situations. So horrifying. That is the real life stuff that goes on around us, and we have no idea. That's what kills me.
Yep.
It could be anyone, somebody we work with, somebody we see at the store, and we have no clue that they have a child they're neglecting back home. Yeah. Did you hear about that woman who got fired at Walmart for sharing a video of this other woman who brought her baby in just a pamper, and it was like negative degrees outside?
I vaguely, like, it sounds a little bit familiar, but
it was viral on TikTok, which some of this stuff you never know what to believe or what, but I mean, for cases like this is helpful, because if I don't know, it's tough, because you don't want to get involved. Like, let's say mom's having a bad day and she really needed to go, she ran out of something, but she did not care when they confronted her. There's videos online of this woman twerking whenever people are expressing their concerns, and a woman actually goes and buys clothes and starts dressing up her baby because he's shivering, like his little lips are quivering. She's in the frozen food aisle, she's dressed, she has a coat on, she takes her coat whenever somebody asks her about it, she takes her coat off and wraps it around the baby, but he's still in just a diaper and nothing else.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I mean, like, I know, but hey, we're a pro-life society around here until it's time to mind our business, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's not do this. It's just, I don't understand the disconnect with some people. It's like, I don't know. Okay. Anyways, sorry guys for that little tangent at the end. I will be putting a content warning and a timestamp, because this is sensitive information that we discuss when it comes to children and things like that. But yeah, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we will be back next week with another topic.
So, did we give you the creeps?